Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. The strong, the powerful Barry Flagg has returned to Money Savage. Welcome back, Barry.
Great to be with you again, George.
Great to have you back on. Barry is a CFP, a CLU, a CHFC, a GFS. He is an Investopedia Top 100 advisor, a Bloomberg BNA, leading expert in the prudent selection and management of life insurance. He's the founder and president of Verilytic, and now back on. Barry, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
So personal life is a little less personal lately with sequestration, not able to do as much, but all are healthy on our end, family and friends. Professionally, I'm proud to report, proud to be able to say that Forbes magazine, which I learned is the 13th most active website on the entire internet, not counting the Google and Amazon, Google and YouTube type sites, but in terms of media sites, they are the 13th largest, and they just recently published a new best life insurance companies ranking based on Verilytic product life insurance product ratings.
Wow,
which is pretty damn cool for us. Thank you.
No kidding. Let's. The couple of really incredible things there. The 13th largest website on the internet, save, you know, big social media sites or search engines.
Right.
And then you invented Verilytic, and that's been how many years now?
Invented, first of our patents was in 2002.
Nice.
We went online in 2003. Nobody cared. Bernie Madoff was sending out pieces of paper that everybody thought were just fine. And so they were a little reluctant to pay a fee to see if the piece of paper that they were getting from their insurance company was any good. But the financial crisis certainly reminded people to inspect what you expect. There's just an awful lot going on in the financial services business that has people relooking at their life insurance, and for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. So, this is the third time I think that you've been on the show, just to give everybody a quick refresher that, if you've ever bought a life insurance policy, you probably receive some kind of a hypothetical picture known as an illustration of what it's supposed to do in the future. And unfortunately, all too often, the reality just doesn't match up to that. And it's really hard to look at the thing and to really parse out how much everything costs, who's making what to really expect. And that's what Verilytic is really designed to do, is to actually dig in and give people factual information about their insurance policies. Is that a fair...
That is a fair statement, a fair assessment, and I think it's so. I've said for a long time that life insurance is the last, largest, most neglected asset on clients' balance sheets. Almost nobody knows what they're being charged inside the policy. Almost nobody knows what they're actually getting in performance. So clearly, just as a generally speaking, getting a policy review from your financial advisor or doing a policy review for your clients is one of the most important things you can be doing in today's environment. COVID has made it all the more important with more downward pressure on even lower interest rates going forward, which makes it harder for insurance companies to maintain their premiums. Market volatility is affecting certain other products, and so it has always been important. But recently, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners was contemplating a change to one of their rules. You mentioned illustrations. You know, many people compare when they're shopping for insurance, they compare the premium. And if it's term insurance, that's fine. But if you're comparing a premium as a proxy for finding the policy with the lowest cost, in other words, if you're looking for the lowest premium and you think you're getting the lowest cost, there's this rule that just got passed or repassed, reinforced, that allows insurance companies to quote a lower premium, even though they charge more inside the policy without disclosing that they're going to have to come back, that the risk is much higher that they'll have to come back and get more premium later. So doing a policy review has never been more important.
That just passed? That sounds ridiculous.
It was a meeting by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. This issue was brought up. The issue has existed since 2015. It's gotten worse. I mean, if there's a rule that allows an insurance company to quote a lower premium and charge more, you got to imagine that over time that's going to get more and more and more abusive, and it has. And so they had a meeting. I think it was about a month ago. To revisit that rule and see if there was a consensus around changing it, and there was some debate around it. We actually submitted a Verilytic actually submitted a comment letter to the committee chair, but they opted to pretty much keep things the way they are. Again, if you're in an environment where you're quoted a premium. A low premium, and it's actually, and the insurance company actually gets to charge you high costs. There's never been a better time to get a policy review, and Verilytic looks at the internal costs and reveals what the actual charges are and whether or not they're competitive or excessive.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much, and the unfortunate reality is that both my dad and my father-in-law bought a kind of a universal life policy some 25, 30 years ago. And both those policies lapsed because the insurance companies came back and said, well, you need to give us way more premium than you were expecting to. And they just said, you know, it's not worth it. So for people who are looking for a real world example, if you don't have one and if you don't know, well, geez, I hope my policy doesn't do that. Well, I guess that's why we're having this conversation right now. So,
yeah, I mean, Wall Street Journal is writing about this. So the National Association of Insurance Commissioners is an association. They actually don't write law. Well, I guess they write it, but they don't enact law. They write a model reg, and then the model reg gets adopted or not, but usually adopted by, you know, most all the 50 states. So this reg that we're talking about here has been in place since 1995. And so your father's policy and your grandfather's policy was probably governed by this reg. The reg was intended to help consumers choose a low premium as a proxy for low costs. But to the point of your experience, it has never really worked well, and it's only gotten in their efforts to try to solve the problem. Unintended consequences have only made it worse.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so you've done all this work, and you probably do the work every year with trying to figure out who are the best insurance companies, the best life insurance companies on the market. And so this has been featured in Forbes, which is exciting and a nice feather in your cap and nothing but a good thing. So I guess just how do we jump into that? How do you want to start?
So Verilytic actually doesn't rate companies. We rate products.
Okay.
And we do it on a policy-by-policy basis. It's all automated. You send in the information about your policy, and you get a measurement of how that policy in that situation for that insured relates to the universe of peer group alternatives, how competitive it is relative to the entire universe of peer group alternatives. That's been our business since 2002. Forbes approached me because they've done best auto insurance company rankings, I think, and some others, and wanted to do one on life insurance, but you know, they looked around and they saw most other rankings being just based on the company's financial strength and claims paying ability, which is certainly important, but it's not the only consideration. Or, you know, the JD Power customer satisfaction rating. But, you know, if you're a satisfied customer, but you don't know what you're being charged, you know, ignorance is bliss, right? And so so they wanted to come up with something new. And we kind of talked, they reached out to me. Because we got all this product data, and in talking it through, we concluded that the very best companies in any industry, irrespective of life insurance, just the very best companies in any industry are the companies that have the financial strength that can stand the test of time. They offer competitively priced products with features and benefits that customers want. They deliver on customers' expectations, and they outperform their competition. And that was kind of the way we framed what are the Forbes ratings going to look like. And then we gave them all of our product data on those very things: financial strength and claims paying ability, the competitiveness of internal policy costs, the reliability of those pricing representations, whether or not it's got features and benefits that are attractive to the customer, whether or not they outperform their competition, what's the actual historical performance of invested assets and underlying cash values. So we gave them all that data. And they came up with a ranking system that said, well, who's got more, which insurance companies have more products that are competitive? Knowing that you know, if I tell you that some insurance company is competitive, that doesn't mean that they're going to be good for you, because there's 10,000 different prices for every different age and gender and smoker or tobacco use and health risk class and da-da-da.
Right.
But they wanted to publish a ranking of who's got, generally speaking, the most competitive products. And so that's how they came up with it. And it's, to my knowledge, the first of its kind that I've ever seen, which I guess by definition, it has to be the first of its kind, because our research is patented, which means it didn't exist and doesn't exist anywhere else. And they're doing company ratings based on our product ratings. So it's the first of its kind.
Nice. Okay. Excellent. Well, that is super exciting, and I would have to imagine, and I think, very helpful to consumers. So,
certainly as a starting point.
Yeah.
But again, you know, with 10,000 different pricing combinations and permutations,
right.
So you might go to the Forbes list and you might start with number one,
mm-hmm.
but don't stop with number one. You have to look at those five things that are important in almost any decision to buy or retain a policy. You've got to look at those five things as it relates to you as a customer. If you're buying insurance, or the advisor needs to look at it if they're trying to make a product recommendation to their client.
Got it. So there are all these factors, and I think it really talking about how just because you assume that if, and I think that Pacific Life was number one on the list.
Correct.
Just because Pacific Life is number one does not mean that for your situation it will be right. And even
correct.
When you look at that, when I'm looking at that, it talks about also how there might be higher costs with Pacific Life's products. So what does that mean?
Yeah. So again, the objective of the Forbes rating was to provide a general sense for what companies have a history or a track record of competitive products measured over decades, which is what the Verilytic database does, right? So one reason why a product may not be competitive to a particular consumer or for a particular client is because of these 10,000 different pricing combinations and permutations. Another reason is that insurance companies, when they design a product, and when they build a product, it's kind of like a closed-end mutual fund. That product, in that form, is only available for sale or for purchase for a period of 12, 18, 24 months. All insurance companies share the risk of paying a death claim with reinsurance companies. They negotiate what's called a reinsurance treaty for some limited amount of coverage. When that bucket of reinsurance is filled up, that product is closed, and then they start up a new product. Whole life is kind of an exception to that, that closed end mutual fund analogy. But these products are generally opened, filled up, and closed, and so the next product, it might be a successor product, could have a different price.
Got it.
Also, there can be different product. There are, in fact, more today than I've ever seen before. More different product types. Indexed universal life products are, I think, according to LIMRA, which is an industry body that captures and compiles statistics, indexed universal life, I think, is the number one selling product. But the spectrum of prices for this universal, this indexed universal life type product is all over the board. As much as an 80% swing between low costs and high costs. Some of them, some of these indexed universal life products are look a lot like a hedge fund, where, you know, and by the way, I some people say, well, you know, you just don't like indexed universal life products, and that is that could not be further from the truth. I mean, I think hedge funds are perfectly appropriate for the right investor as well, but not appropriate for some investors.
Yeah.
Somebody who's understands that the costs are higher in a hedge fund than in a mutual fund, someone who understands that they want to have access to some esoteric or exotic indexing or hedging strategy in a hedge fund that you can't get in a mutual fund, that's all fine. But the problem with indexed universal life in that analogy is, again, people are buying life insurance off of a premium comparison without the disclosures that are would be required when you're looking at a hedge fund or frankly any other security. And so they're looking at a low premium, don't understand that they're actually being charged high costs, and that the risk of things not going as expected, the risk of a premium call or the risk of the policy lapsing, are significantly or can be significantly higher. So those are the reasons why, again, it's fine to start with a list of best companies, but you've got to drill down into those five factors or more, but at least those five factors and how they relate to either the individual, if they're the buyer themselves, or the advisor needs to relate them to the client, if they're advising a client.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And there are so many different variables that are going to go into what my policy as a 41-year-old male that has the whatever the health history and my habits and all that good stuff. And when you look at an illustration, you're going to see some kind of a rate of return and performance, which will lead to the growth, which we have no idea what that's going to be. And this is maybe not the right question. I'll do the best asking it, and you do the best answering it. Are the costs of, let's just use me, of if I go in and buy an index universal, an IUL product, are the costs, meaning the expenses of the policy, do I know what those are going to be for the most part? I know that you're saying that they can be increased, or maybe the cost can be increased.
So it depends. One of the things that I think the NAIC should do is require that pages showing the year-by-year disclosure of costs be included in every illustration.
Yeah.
Most illustrations are not. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming majority of the illustrations that get submitted to us for a Verilytic report from a first-time user do not include these what we categorically call the detailed expense pages or detailed accounting pages. They are available for all product types except for whole life. But at a minimum, if you get a quote, if you're a consumer and you get a quote, or if you're a financial advisor and you get a quote from, you know, your insurance marketing organization or your brokerage general agency that runs these quotes for you, if you get one that doesn't have these detailed expense pages in them, you've got to ask for them. Because if you don't, you have no idea, you're flying blind.
Yep.
And you have no idea whether or not the premium is actually a low premium because of low costs or a premium because of high costs, aggressive assumptions, and high risk of a premium call down the road.
Yep. I think that is such an incredibly key thing right there. So if you are shopping for life insurance, if you are an advisor, if you're a client, make sure that when you're looking at an illustration, you have as full a picture as possible by making sure you are asking for the detailed expense report, detailed expense pages, detailed accounts page, which will show you the year-by-year expenses in the policy. So did I get that
even
right?
Even better. Oops. You did. Even better. So if you're a consumer and you're working with a financial advisor, best thing to do of all. So if you are insisting on the detailed expense pages, you at least know then what you're being charged. But if you're a consumer, you still don't know whether it's a good or bad price because you have no frame of reference. So if you're working with a financial advisor, just ask the financial advisor for a Verilytic report, because the Verilytic report will not only tell you what you're being charged, but it'll tell you whether or not it's competitive or whether it's excessive. And it'll also tell you what the how reasonable the assumptions in the illustration are relative to asset class benchmark, historical performance of asset class benchmarks. So if you're a consumer, make sure you ask for a Verilytic report so you not only know what you're being charged and what the return is, but how risky is that return, and are those costs really low?
Perfect. Well, Barry, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and where can they find Verilytic to get one of these reports?
Reports are available at www.verilytic.com. That's verilytic.com. I also am very active on LinkedIn. So if you're an advisor and you have an interest in what I call this last, largest, most neglected asset on clients' balance sheets, and being able to address it in a way that every other asset on the client's balance sheet is addressed, where you first measure what you then want to manage, follow me on LinkedIn. I'm posting almost daily an article that I see on the topic or an idea for how to better serve clients. And George, I don't even think you follow me on Twitter. I think so far I've got my two kids and my mother following me on Twitter. So anybody who wants to follow me on Twitter, you'd help me build my Twitter following.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Barry your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to verilytic.com, verilytic.com. Mm-hmm. Follow him on LinkedIn, and for goodness sakes, follow Barry on Twitter as well. Thanks again, Barry.
My pleasure. Always great talking to you, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.